Welcome to Osteocast, where we talk all things osteopathy, functional anatomy, and movement. With your hosts, myself, Colby Brokel,
Amanda Boysen,
and Sarah Pucal.
Welcome back to another episode of Osteocast. I got myself, Colby, and Sarah, and Amanda with me today.
Hello.
Hello.
Today we're going to dive into a bit of a conversation to catch up and review some of the case histories that we talked about a couple of months ago. So I know we each went through a case study, and we just want to review kind of where we're at, how things have been going, and the progressions that we've been looking at. So we will jump right into that. I know that Amanda's prepared some notes, so we're going to allow her to go through her notes and give us a rundown on our patients. Take it away, Mandy.
Well, we're all sitting here laughing because my keyboard is a little bit loud. And so when I'm writing my notes, everybody knows I'm writing my notes. So apparently that's hilarious. So jumping back into my patient case, we talked about my patient that had rotoscoliosis. And so with this patient, I've been seeing them every kind of 4 to 6 weeks, barring no flare-ups. We did push them out a little bit further than that, and symptoms started to come back a little bit sooner. So we kind of backtracked a little bit, especially with their job. They needed, they were kind of more heavy into work during that period of time. So interesting that things started to come back when they were in a seated rotation, posterior facing. That's part of their job. However, currently, they report that they're able to stand for longer periods of time without their feet feeling numb or like they're not attached. On a daily basis, they have no real issues and they are pain-free.
There you go.
And they are feeling like they're in really great shape at this point, and they haven't had a headache in 6 months.
What?
So, yeah, I mean, as a practitioner, it feels pretty great. It's funny as a practitioner, because you look at your osteopathic structural diagnosis, and there's definitely still things within the patient that you know either need to have some more movement, or if you think about what your expectation as a practitioner is. But when patients reporting similar to great successes as this patient here, we really have to take a step back and say, like, hey, their body's moving really well. Their body's doing what they need. And they are getting better and they're healing. And we need to give it some time at that point in time, because we really want their body to do the work. But from a structural standpoint, I'm still seeing a lot of rotation in the lumbar spine, and there's no expectation for that to go away. But there is definitely more mobility and movement through their thoracic spine. And we've been working a lot through specific rib mechanics, especially through ribs 6 to 9, which seem to be caught in an exhalation, but their spine is in an extension in that pattern.
Okay.
And there's a strain pattern through the OA as well. So, and then their AA has a rotation to the left as well as their lumbar spine. So seeing definitely some uncompensated patterns there. So no, there's still work to do, but it's great to know that the patient's reporting some really good, really good results.
That's awesome.
So cool too, and you get to see that on the table. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, Amanda, osteopathically, there's still issues or treatment that's needed, but the fact that the patient feels good and wants to spread out treatment is a huge bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it is an important thing that you mentioned as you talk about the patient's body needing to do its thing. And sometimes with that, when you're dealing with patients, I know it happens all the time for me, and I'm sure it does for you guys in clinic, where the patient feels better, but their body's not totally better. So you have to let their bodies do the work, but you also need to have that conversation to make sure that they don't call it a day and wrap up treatment until the body is fully ready to do things on its own.
Yeah. I find I initially in my career, that was a conversation I had more of, whereas now I feel like people trust my judgment a lot more now. Mainly because one, I'm a different practitioner than I was when I started. I'm probably more confident, but two, I'm really confident in what treatment can do and they're confident in me. So when I tell them, hey, I want to see you back here in, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, typically there's not like some pushback like you're describing. Whereas when I feel like people haven't seen that, seen the results or don't understand what you're doing or have some questions in their mind or whatever the case may be, that's more of a discussion you have at that point in time. But most people, I would think once they're seeing those results, they're like, okay, how can I keep coming back sooner? And it's like, no, we're doing good work. We need your body to do the work. So let's like giving you the time is actually long-term what's going to make this change sustainable and successful.
And what I get sometimes from patients is patients that are like, I feel good, so I'm going to not come now. And just because they feel better doesn't mean that everything's taken care of, right? That's just one phase or one step of it, but for sure. Well, it sounds like you've done really good work with that patient.
Yeah, thank you. It's definitely been a team effort. They do all the work. We just create the space.
Just move stuff around and hope it works.
Yeah. Cross your fingers and pray.
That's funny.
Push and pull.
Perfect. Well, I know you both have a case study as well, so who wants to go next?
All right, I'll jump in here. So my case study was on a young male, mid-30s, who had suffered a brain aneurysm as well as a stroke, had a broken pelvis, a broken wrist, and a broken collarbone all within the same couple years. Came to me for having back pain and just generally wanting to feel better. Just felt like he was having quite a bit of joint pain and just knew that or was hoping treatment would give some relief in that field. So latest update of the patient is been pretty cool to see. Finds he generally feels well. He'll overdo it because he feels so good, and that's when he'll come in saying he has a bit of pain, whether it's not necessarily usually his back anymore, but just general body aches, or he'll have a specific pain based off of a movement he's done or repeated too many times. So that's been really exciting. And then from an osteopathic structural standpoint, the tissue texture has changed quite a bit in his body, which lets me know that the physiology is getting healthier and that his body is taking on treatment and working with it between appointments. So he no longer has that ropey tissue texture happening through the lumbars that went all the way up into the cranium, into the upper cervical region. And his long levers are now connecting to the spine. That was something that also was not applicable in the beginning of treatment. Everything had to be very short lever, very focal. So the fact now that when his legs lift, his lumbars go into flexion versus kind of holding into an even tighter extension has been really, really great to see. A bit more work to do regarding getting the cranium to move, which we know there will be some limitations as there has been surgery on the brain. So there is some really deep scar tissue that has been built up around that area. But overall, seeing really good changes every time he comes into the clinic. So just continuing to work on that physiology and mobility. And one thing that made a really big difference as well was the ribcage mechanics. So initially he was caught in inhalation and that was kind of contributing as well to that extension pattern. So that ribcage mobility has become more pliable and has come down into full exhalation, inhalation with the breath and isn't caught in either range of motion. So we actually can have proper fluid dynamics going up and down the body through the spine, proper pumping on the viscera through the abdomen. Which I think is a big reason why the physiology is now improving and finding health.
That's perfect.
Amazing. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
When you're talking about their long levers connecting versus mm-hmm. short and focal levers, this is what you're experiencing when you're providing treatment, or is there movements that he's reporting back saying that they're easier or better for him?
No, this is what I'm finding.
Gotcha.
So initially your treatment was more short lever because you couldn't make the connection when picking up his leg, for example, to get his hip and his lumbars to move.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to start kind of treat more spinal, more fascial visceral to kind of get out into those long levers that were just, I guess, holding in a compensation pattern for protection, because he had so much back pain that he was afraid to move his spine, afraid that it would create more pain.
Yeah. Right.
Not a big talker, so I'll have to ask a few more questions next time about the long lever difference for himself outside of the treatment room. But, you know, not coming in complaining, I always take it as a good sign.
Yeah, the complaints change and the function changes, which is huge, right, for them. So that's awesome. It's always nice when case studies go in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Always nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Colby, hit us with yours.
Yeah. So we last chatted, I believe my case study patient was a patient that was having some digestive issues and some abdominal pain in regards to different forms of food and having some pain with intercourse and other things as such. I've actually dismissed the patient from treatment. It's been a couple of months since we talked about this last. But the patient's treatment process or plan was very much so on the basis of getting the body's central nervous system and the autonomic nervous system communicating appropriately to try and get it so that when the body wants something to happen, the communication's appropriate. How we had to go about doing that was dealing with the ribs and the anterior line, like through the sternum, through the anterior cervical fascia, through the abdomen, along with the cranial bones themselves, but to try and generate some balance so that the spinal cord and nervous system had good flow and good supply, good blood supply, good nutrient supply, so that it could work at its capabilities. The other thing that was very important was that there was quite a bit of a kyphosis in the upper thorax, and we had to work on getting that kyphosis to just extend a little bit and bringing the anterior head posture back, just to stack everything up over top of that thorax to take that anterior pressure off that anterior line we were talking about. And as that improved over time, the abdomen got less distended and some of the symptoms of the abdomen itself started to go away. So they were able to eat more food and not be quite as bloated and not have the same abdominal pain and have proper bowel movements. So that was a really big win on that front. And then as we progressed through treatment, we also had a little bit of work to do in the pelvis just to get things balanced out a little bit. There was a little bit going on with the pubic symphysis and its coordination again through that anterior line. But the body really came together after the process of treatment. I think we started to spread treatments out a little while ago to allow the body to do its thing. And after we had a couple of months without any reoccurrences, we called it at that point in time, and the patient will come in as needed if something comes back up, but we haven't heard anything for a little while. So that's really good.
Amazing.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a successful case story, but it did take quite a bit of time and quite a bit of effort to make those changes. It wasn't a three treatments and done kind of thing.
Do you remember how long you saw the patient for in total?
I do not, but I'm sure that I can give you that answer in a short period of time.
Like a couple months, 6 months, a year?
Probably about 6 months.
6 months, yeah.
5 months.
I'm super curious about frequency of treatment too. Were you like at the end, I assume you had spaced them out, but maybe initially you were seeing them a little bit closer together?
Yeah, if I recall, and I don't know for sure, the first maybe three appointments were weekly and then to 2 weeks. I think I saw them twice at 2 weeks, and then we went to a month for two or three appointments, and then all was good to go.
Awesome.
Yeah. Perfect. So just gradually increasing the treatment time between making sure that the body was stabilized, because the symptoms were showing well, but Sometimes if you just dismiss them too early, then 3 weeks goes by and the symptoms come back. So they're not quite ready. The body's not quite fully taking care of itself or not quite stabilized. So sometimes it just requires a little bit more interaction with the body to get it to fully take care of itself.
Yeah, more of a check-in.
Yeah.
Very neat. And I know you were saying that you worked a lot through like the ventral line, sternum, rib mechanics, kind of posture to get the head set over the thorax.
Yep.
Would you say there was like a lot of fascial work within there, muscular, or would you say it was like a lot of hard tissue stuff?
It's a combination of both, but there is some reflexive work that had to be done, which required fascial, muscular, and bony work through the ribs and through the spine in order to get those reflexes to calm down, was more so than anything. Because of the anterior head posture and the flexed thoracic spine, there was basically the linea alba and the anterior side of the body was acting as a pivot point opposed to the spine. So we just had to get that the reflexes to come off and get that pivot point to shift back to the structure where it's supposed to be. So some was fascial, some was muscular, some was bony for sure. There wasn't necessarily a favor on one or the other. I would say like in the abdomen itself, it would be more fascial and muscular. And then through the ribs was probably a little bit more fascial. And then through the anterior cervical and the cranial would be a little bit more ligamentous. But it was just, it's not like a dead set rule. It just depends on the patient and what their requirements are. Yeah.
For sure.
That's
awesome.
Yeah, it was a
great work, friends. We're good at what we do.
It was a fun case, and it's always nice to dive into and have a chat about some of them. And it's always also kind of fun when you get some difficult cases. Not that every patient isn't important, but it's always good when it pushes you to your limits or makes you read and learn because of the difficulty of the case. And that was one of those ones that certainly made me push myself a little bit to get there.
Well, and super important that as a practitioner, you're staying very neutral and really making sure that what the patient needs and what, if it's outside of your comfort zone or you have to think about it more, you're making sure that you're putting that time and effort into it before and after so that when the patient gets there, you know what you need to do.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're not sure, there's nothing wrong with saying I'm not sure and looking it up. Correct. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah.
Well, every visit, every treatment is a learning opportunity.
That's what we call it.
Really learn from our patients.
Hey. There we go.
Perfect. Well, we will come back to these or check in on these in the future, and I'm sure we'll share more as new cases come up, and we've got new information that we want to share or chat about. But perfect. Thank you for listening today, and we will chat soon.
Also, as Amanda says that, if you guys as listeners have a case study that you're working on that's really cool or interesting or you're having trouble with, shoot us a message or an email, and we'd be happy to go over it on the podcast or with you directly, because it's always nice to get some other people's input and some other people's situations. So don't be shy. Reach out and let us know what you're dealing with to see if we can help you out.
That'd be awesome. Okay, we'll talk to you then.
All right, thanks, everybody.
Bye.